From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you would like to be part of the program, pick up the phone and give us a call. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Ace McKay is our celebrity producer today. Matt Gubensky fielding your phone calls, and Michael McCall handling our social media efforts. So if you are watching us on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe to the channel. That'll help us out. And you can text your question to Father Wade. Just text your first name, how you're listening, and a brief question to the main call-in number, 833-288-3986. And our host, as aforementioned, Father Wade Menezes, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. Thank you so much.
Did you ever go to the circus when you were growing up, Father Wade?
No, but I went to the county fair a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a circus-like feel here because we didn't close the door to the control room, so the wild beast in the control room behind the glass spinning the dials has unfettered access to the patrons. And I just feel like I'm just feeling daring for some reason because of that.
Okay. I think I know what you're saying, but because I'm not 100% sure, I'm not going to go there. Okay. I'll just start my springboard topic, and maybe you can tie up the loose ends at the end. But before I begin the springboard, I want to give a shout-out to our family at Sacred Heart Catholic Radio in Cincinnati. We had our 25th anniversary Mass and banquet this past weekend. Of course, the Mass was on Friday evening at the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart at St. Catherine of Siena Parish, and the banquet was the following night at the Sharonville Convention Center in Cincinnati. And just two wonderful, great gatherings, very well planned, very well executed. And so a shout out to all of them, and a congratulations once again for the station's 25th anniversary.
Speaking of daring, was Matt Swaim allowed to wander freely amongst the patrons?
No, poor Matt was not there because he and his wife were stuck in Washington, D.C. because of protected airspace. They could not get out of D.C.
because of the UFC event, probably.
I don't know the particulars, but yeah. They were not able to come at all. So,
I'm 0-2. I'm going to stop with the jokes today. So we'll just go straight to the springboard topic.
Yeah, because vacations can be fun, right? Pilgrimages can be fun. So we'll kind of connect it that way. So today's springboard topic, during this month of June, when we talk either weddings or vacations in our American culture, it seems, or the Sacred Heart, I want to talk about how to make your vacation at the same time a pilgrimage and why that's important to combine the two. And if we don't finish up, we will finish up when we come back from our break. So, Catholic teaching views life itself as a spiritual journey, right? Toward God, toward heaven. And so merging a vacation with a pilgrimage, whether as an individual, a family, or a group of friends, merging a vacation with a pilgrimage helps recenter that reality and that focus, that we are on a spiritual journey toward God. While vacations provide worldly rest, pilgrimages offer spiritual transformation, we could say. The important blending of these two realities reminds travelers to recreate their souls rather than just recharge their bodies. The integration of a vacation and pilgrimage together in Catholic spirituality serves multiple purposes, and here are a few of those. I want to give four. Number one, we walk in the footsteps of faith. traveling to holy sites such as Rome or the Holy Land, or even local shrines in your home state, bring scripture and church history to life. Being physically present where Christ or the apostles or the saints lived also fosters a tangible connection to Holy Mother Church. Number two, we partake of the pilgrimage worldview, right? Many popes have described pilgrimages as one of the most eloquent expressions of personal faith. But sometimes pilgrimages can be difficult. It's almost as if the devil knows we're going on a pilgrimage, and so he often tries to sabotage our plans of travel. Embracing the hardships and detachments of pilgrimage travel helps Catholics realize that all earthly possessions and locations are temporary, and that heaven alone is our ultimate destination. Number three, we seek transformation over mere escape. Right? While a standard vacation seeks to escape the routine of daily life, of one's work life especially, a pilgrimage seeks a deeper encounter with God. It actively incorporates prayer, daily mass, and reflection into one's journey. And number four, experiencing the communion of the saints is something else that we do. Visiting shrines, venerating relics, or visiting the tombs of saints and martyrs, for example, allows Catholic Christians to pray alongside the faithful from around the globe, we could say, physically experiencing the universal nature of the church, right? So, four great points why it's important to try to incorporate some aspect of a pilgrimage into your family or individual or with friends vacation. We walk in the footsteps of faith, we partake of the pilgrimage worldview, we seek transformation over escape, and we experience the communion of saints. I'm hoping, Jack, that today our callers will call in and give us examples of how they have combined the two of a family vacation with some type of pilgrimage. Maybe it was just a historical church they went to, a very historical parish church, like visiting St. Patrick's Cathedral in downtown New York City on Fifth Avenue, you know? Give us a call. Give us a witness of how you combined your vacation, your recharging of your batteries of body, with the recharging of your soul. How did you combine pilgrimage with your vacation? It is precisely because the human person is a body-soul composite that we should consider the importance of all of this that has been said. So intimate and intricate is the body-soul compositeness of the human person that we can say and mean it, that as human persons, we don't have bodies, we are bodies. And as human persons, we don't have souls, we are souls. So it is then that both the corporeal and the spiritual realities of the human person need to be attended to and nurtured. The combining of a vacation with a pilgrimage, and vice versa, is a great way to achieve this. A vacation is properly defined as a period of suspension from work, study, or other activity, and is usually used purposefully for rest, recreation, leisure, and travel. While on vacation, we relax, detach from our daily stressors, and treat ourselves to great foods, luxury, and fun activities. A pilgrimage, on the other hand, has a much different meaning. A pilgrimage is properly defined as a journey, sometimes a long one even, made to some sacred place as an act of religious devotion, as to pay a certain homage to God, let's say. A pilgrimage is not necessarily a time for rest or pampering. Rather, it is a time of deep spiritual reflection, religious introspection, contemplation, prayer, and sacred worship. So, simply put, a Catholic pilgrimage is a journey to a sacred place, such as a well-known Catholic shrine, undertaken as an act of personal or communal religious devotion. Its purpose may be simply to venerate a certain saint or to ask for some spiritual favor from God. It may be done to ask God for a physical cure according to His most holy will, such as visiting the beautiful shrine at Lourdes, or to perform an act of penance as a means of making reparation for your own sins and the sins of others. A pilgrimage may also be taken to express thanks to God or to fulfill a certain promise to Him. Keep in mind, too, that in our journey through life, an average of 79 years, those are the latest longevity statistics, each one of us is a pilgrim making his or her way toward heaven and working out their salvation, to quote Philippians 2:12. Also, Catholic theology and ecclesiology, study the church, both teach that the Catholic Church, the Bride of Christ on earth, which He Himself founded, is herself a pilgrim church. How about that? Referring to the fact that the Catholic Church on earth, that is to say, the church militant, is on pilgrimage toward the great church triumphant in heavenly glory. So there you have it. A Catholic view as to why a vacation should include some aspect of pilgrimage. And you want to recharge both body and soul, you know. And so you can make your vacation a pilgrimage also. Even if just if it's a portion of your week or maybe 2 week vacation you have, take out 2-3 days where you visit a historical church, a historical shrine. Do your research. Find out what shrines are on the way of your way of travel to the states you're going to or the country you're going to. You know, in Canada, there's the beautiful shrine of St. Anne de Beaupré that I have friends that live in California that recently visited there during an East Atlantic cruise they took. So there's all kinds of options here. Give us a call this hour. Give a witness how you have combined pilgrimage with vacation.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
I want to tell you about a great item at EWTN's religious catalog. It's a book, St. John the Baptist, Priest, Prophet, and Martyr, by our friend Sebastian Walsh, OP. In this book, St. John the Baptist, Priest, Prophet, and Martyr, Father Sebastian shows how through divine providence, one man was uniquely destined to pave the way for the coming of Christ. It's available now at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. They're offering free standard shipping on online orders of $75 or more. That is standard shipping in the continental U.S. only. Use the code FREE at checkout. To the phones we go. First up today is Suzanne, a first-time caller in Abilene, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Suzanne, thanks so much for holding. You are on with Father Wade.
Thank you. I really jumped on fast. I should have listened to see if there was going to be a special topic. Unfortunately, I cannot add to the Father's request about pilgrimage that people can do on vacation. I would certainly recommend that people prepare in advance
sure.
where they're going to go to Mass.
You know, Suzanne, you make a great point. When we go on vacation, even without a specific aspect of pilgrimage, we should make it a point to make sure that we can still fulfill our Sunday obligation while on vacation, properly speaking, right? Either by attending the Vigil Mass, which fulfills the Sunday obligation, or going sometime on Sunday itself in the area that we are in on our vacation while on our vacation. And it should be fairly easy to do that within your research, knowing where you're going to be on what days, etc. Really try to attend Mass, even if it's a cruise. You know, find out from the cruise company if there's going to be a Mass on board on Sunday. You can find out. So there are different things you can do. And yes, you know, vacation in and of itself per se does not excuse one automatically, that is, from attending their Sunday obligation. I mean, you have to exhaust all means, sincerely so, and absolutely not be able to get to a Mass. And then if you believe that's the case, and you ask for a dispensation from your parish priest at home. But you could do your research in advance, that's for certain. What did you want to say, Suzanne, in regards to the topic you did call about?
Well, I was calling about the Holy Souls, and I've been very curious about this for quite a while. And there are so many excellent programs on EWTN that I wanted to address this to a priest instead of to an apologist. And am I doing a disservice to my family, my loved ones, that are holy souls, if I don't name them by name every single time I'm praying for them?
No,
or
you are not.
Okay, Okay.
No, you
ahead.
Are not. You are not doing them a disservice. If you're praying for all the holy souls in purgatory collectively, and if any of your relatives happen to still be in a state of purgation in purgatory, they are automatically included by that willed, deliberate intention on your part to pray for, quote, all the holy souls in purgatory, end quote. You do not need to mention them by name. This is why I love, and I know Jack and Johnette do as well, the 33-day Marian consecration. Now, this is a totally different aspect to your question. This is just an added great thing that I'm going to say here. To answer your question, I've already answered it. No, you don't have to mention them by name specifically. Just pray for the holy souls, and if they're there, they're benefiting from your prayers. If they're not there, then the prayers are still benefiting souls in purgatory. But this is why the 33-day consecration, according to the formula by St. Louis-Marie de Montfort, is so great, because by our consecration to the Theotokos, the Mother of God, she dispenses as she sees fit to her Son everything that we're praying for. And as a good mother, she knows exactly where our prayers should be applied. And she's our Holy Mother in heaven, and she's interceding for us. And this is why consecration to her is so important. She has one goal: to lead us more closely to her Son, whether we're living still on earth or whether we're deceased. She has one goal and one goal only: to lead us more closely to her Son. So if you haven't done the St. Louis-Marie de Montfort consecration to the Blessed Virgin, I would encourage you to research that and look at that. But no, to answer your question, you do not need to mention your relatives by name, your deceased relatives by name. Great question, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Susan is up next in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on The Quest. Susan, you're on with Father Wade. Hey, Susan, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Go right ahead with your question for Father Wade.
Oh, I didn't have a question. I was just repeating a story to the gentleman that answered.
Oh, please
the
do.
So
please
sorry.
Do. Go right ahead.
Oh. I am sorry. Sorry, you just taken me off. I didn't think I had to repeat my story again.
Well, you're live on the air now, so we're ready to roll here.
All right. Well, let me call you back when I'm a little bit more collected. Thank you.
All right, Lena,
okay, Susan,
we'll go to Lena next in the Republic of Texas, listening on Armor of God Radio. Lena, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Lena. Hello, Lena. I love the name of your Catholic radio network out there, Armor of God Radio. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yes. It's run by Tom and Anne Marie McNew. They're just incredible people. They go to our parish, actually.
Great, great.
So,
how'd you want to witness today, Lena?
So we were just, I have my kids in the car with me. We're on our way to go pick up our Walmart order, and we heard you talking about pilgrimages and vacations and combining the two. And I just wanted to share that we actually went on the first Armor of God Catholic radio pilgrimage over this past spring break, and it's what
we did
for our spring break vacation. And we went to Alabama, and we went to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament and EWTN Studios and the Ave Maria Grotto, and it was just so beautiful, and it was a great experience for our kids. And I just wanted to share to any families who might be listening, just like encourage other families to take your children to Catholic pilgrimages. We actually had plenty of kids on our pilgrimage. So it was just really nice to have, like, you know, the youthful experience there, like having little kids there and enjoying it and seeing them just enjoy the Catholic sites. And actually, it's funny you just mentioned the 33 days, the consecration to Jesus, or I'm sorry, to Jesus through Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, because we were actually doing that consecration while we were on the pilgrimage. So in the evenings, we would gather with some of the parishioners there, because we had a group doing it together. So we did that with our family as well while we were there.
Well,
so I just wanted
great.
To share, because it was cool that we turned on the radio and you were talking about that.
Well, great. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. How many people would you say went on the Armor of God pilgrimage to Alabama in total? How many, your family was a part of how big of a total group would you say?
We had 50.
Great.
50 people.
So were you all in a tour bus?
Yes, we took a big charter bus all the
Great.
Way from Costco, Texas to Alabama.
Yeah. Well, that's great, and what a great witness call, and thank you so much, and especially because you're mentioning the EWTN establishment. There's many other places, of course, to go on pilgrimage. We Fathers of Mercy staff Our Lady of Champion Shrine in Champion, Wisconsin. It's the only apparition site of the Blessed Virgin Mary that is fully approved in the United States. A lot of Catholics here in America don't realize that. We Fathers of Mercy in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin are doing our parts to promote it more and more. But a few years back, Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay, he officially approved as of worthy of belief and of supernatural origin through a committee's recommendation that the three apparitions to Adele Bryce were of supernatural origin. And so now that that's been approved and Sister Adele's cause has been introduced, she's now servant of God. That happened back in January at a special Vesper service in the Cathedral of Green Bay. I believe it took place on January 31st. It's a great place to go on pilgrimage. So your family, Lena, may want to think about visiting Our Lady of Champion Shrine. And I know that near there is Holy Hill, ran by the Franciscans, I believe, the Shrine of St. Joseph, a small shrine ran by the Norbertine Fathers there. And then about 3 hours away in the Diocese of La Crosse is the beautiful shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe that Cardinal Raymond Burke built while he was there. Now, that shrine is not affiliated with any apparitions. Cardinal Burke built it simply because he wanted a shrine in North America that is dedicated to Our Lady of the Americas, Our Lady of Guadalupe, right? She is the patroness of North America, Central America, and South America. Well, the United States did not have an official shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, so he wanted to remedy that. So that's also worth visiting. That's about 3.5 hours away, from what I understand, from Champion. But right near Champion, again, is the little Shrine of St. Joseph and also Holy Hill. So plenty to do in Wisconsin and other states as well here in the great United States. We celebrate our 250th this year. So it's worth researching wherever your family is thinking about going. Maybe your family, talking to other families out there right now, maybe your family is going to go to fly to another state to visit one side of the spouse's family, right? Find out what historical churches are in that area. You know, a lot of historical churches have what's called a privileged altar, where you can gain a plenary indulgence by praying at that altar. So you want to research things like that. Cathedral churches of dioceses and archdioceses are often associated with a plenary or partial indulgence because the cathedral is considered the mother church of the diocese or archdiocese. So we got to get creative and really see our life here on earth as a journey. So Lena, thank you so much. Are you in the car with your kids still?
I am.
Can your kids give a shout out to Open Line all together in one voice?
You guys want to, what do you want them to say?
I want them to say, hello, Open Line Tuesday.
Say hello. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
There we go. There we go. Lena, thank you so much for your call today. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It's an absolutely free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. That number is 1-205-271-2985. And we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. That's openline, all one word, @ewtn.com. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Karen in Nebraska, Bonita in Iowa, Jack in Florida. We've still got time for your phone calls at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday, talking faith, family, and fellowship with our very favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'd like to give a big shout-out. It's interesting that Lena was just on the phone from Armor of God Radio. Another one of our great affiliates is KMMK 88.7, serving the greater Cedar Rapids, Iowa area. And, boy, it seems like just yesterday they were calling and asking, what do you need to do to get a radio station on the air? And here they are celebrating 8 years. Congratulations to Tony and Susan May and their whole team at KMMK 88.7, serving the greater Cedar Rapids, Iowa area. You ever been to Cedar Rapids, Father Wade?
I have. It's been a while, but
smells
I have been
like
there.
Smells like a bowl of oats.
Yes, that's right.
There's a big oat plant there. Back to the phones we go. Karen is up next, a first-time caller in the great state of Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Karen, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Thank you for your program. I love listening to you.
Thank you. We appreciate that very much.
So my question is about prayer.
Okay.
I say a lot of rosaries. Sometimes I meditate so deeply that I cry tears of joy or tears of sorrow. And sometimes I listen to the rosary app on my phone while I walk my dog, or it's on the radio while I'm driving. So my question is, if I don't have the deepest meditation all the time, is there any lack of, for lack of a better word, is that dilutes my prayers?
Is there any lack of merit if you're not as focused as you should be? God understands your efforts, and he understands that you've got things going on, and he understands that you're praying the rosary while driving in busy traffic. He's happy that you're praying the rosary. Now, should we let such a distraction reality become a reality on a continuum every single time we pray the rosary? No, we want to try to focus on the mysteries of the rosary. You know, the joyful mysteries help us to learn the meaning, the virtues, and the trials of everyday family life. The luminous mysteries, as they focus specifically on our Lord's 3 years of public life, help us to see how each one of us must carry out our own Christian mission while living in the midst of the modern world. The sorrowful mysteries, no doubt, teach us how to deal with the trials and sufferings of everyday life that we come into contact with. And the glorious mysteries help us to focus on the goal for which God has made us, namely our eternal salvation and life with him forever in heaven. So even if you just have a general focus on the set of mysteries and what it's calling us to do, and don't necessarily have a focus on the individual mystery, God understands your efforts. So it may not be as efficacious of a rosary if you're not as focused as you could be, just out of laziness, but you're still gaining something from it because you're making the effort to pray it. And the goal is to try to remain focused, but we're human, we're fallen human persons, where we can't always stay focused and distractions come our way. So even if you get through a 5-decade rosary and you think to yourself, my gosh, I finished that in 10 minutes, 12 minutes, I just raced right through it. Well, don't be scrupulous and feel you have to repray it. That's not the spiritual life, that's the neurotic life. That's the neuroses taking over. Just give it to God and let him let you learn from it. Let him guide you to learn that you went a little too fast and maybe you weren't as focused as you should be, as you should have been. And try to do better the next day when you pray your daily rosary, as Our Lady of Fatima called for world peace and for the sanctification of marriages and family life. Great question, Karen. I hope that helps you out.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have you seen The Music Man?
I have not.
Really? The musical? The Music Man?
No.
You've never seen that?
Mm-mm.
Well, then you just ruined my third attempt at humor for the day.
Jack, anyway. Jack will never go into stand-up comedy because of Father Wade.
No, it's not. No, it's just not worth it. You know, listen, the best comics have one of those days. Anyway, the town in which that fictitious story takes place is River City, which is based on Mason City, Iowa. And Bonita, our next caller, is in Mason City, Iowa, listening on Real Presence Radio. Bonita, you are on with Father Wade.
Well, thank you so much for the comment on The Music Man. We love him. And I love your show. Thank you so much. I listen to it as much as I can.
Well, thank you, Bonita. We appreciate it.
Yes, and I did just get back from the Camino de Santiago. We were there for 2 weeks. I am 87 years old, and I walked almost all of the 100 miles.
Wow.
I did take a cab for about 10 miles a couple days because I just was experiencing a little pain. But it was awesome. We prayed a lot. I would encourage anyone that has any inclination to do it to do it, because it is indescribable.
Yeah, Bonita, when we went to break at the bottom of the hour just a few minutes ago, and I saw you waiting on the call line there that you just got back from 2 weeks on the Camino, I thought, we have got to take that caller. What a great thing that was for you and your loved ones who went. And congratulations to you at, what'd you say, 87? Doing almost the 100 miles. Praise God for the good health you have and you're able to do it. Several of our Fathers of Mercy priests have done it. I would love to do it when I have the time in my schedule to do it. I need to sit down and just plan it. That's the only way it's going to get done. And I understand now that there's different trails or different caminos, different ways of different levels of difficulty and moderation. Is that correct? There's not just the one like there was 15 or 20 years ago. There's now different options you can take dependent on one's health. It's and different lengths that you can do. And for those who don't know about the Camino, it's very easy to research online. Your end result is to end up at the beautiful cathedral in Santiago de Compostela in Spain. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful cathedral. And you pilgrimage on your way to that end result where St. James the Greater, the Apostle, is said to have died. Does the cathedral claim his relics, Bonita?
Yes. They have not all of his bones, but some of his bones are buried underneath the cathedral.
Yes.
And we got to tour the cathedral and see his coffin there.
Yeah,
and,
fantastic. And, what a gift. This is what I meant in my springboard topic when I said it puts us in direct contact with the early church and the lives of the saints and the martyrs when we have some aspect of pilgrimage along with our vacation as well, and kind of want to mix the two. And I'm sure you did too, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure you did some enjoyable things on the pilgrimage as well that you could count as more vacation aspects. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Amen. How many from your family went? You were in a group of how many people that went together?
There were 14 of us, and my two daughters and my son-in-law also went. So we had a very good family experience, yes.
Wonderful. The Camino in Spain to Santiago de Compostela Cathedral, the burial site of St. James. So that's beautiful. Bonita, thank you so much for your call today from Iowa. And giving us a great, great witness call. That's fantastic.
And France.
That's right.
Yeah. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Mary Ann is in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mary Ann, you are on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade.
Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi. I would just wanted to share a little bit about how my husband and I, when we go on vacation, we make it a point to visit churches, cathedrals, because that's a way to invite God on our vacation, right? And that
beautiful,
sets the tone.
Beautifully stated.
And we don't leave them out, especially on Sunday. I mean, what's that saying, right? That you go on vacation, but you don't want God going on vacation on you?
Right.
Good point. So, yeah, I just want to share a few places that we have visited and maybe it might help other listeners. We've known about, some we do not, some special little gold nuggets surprises. So we went up to Montreal last fall, and we stayed at an Airbnb, which was quite lousy, did not meet our expectations, but the surprise, right across the street was a 1700 cathedral. They believe it was St. Philip's, and gorgeous. I mean, just Gothic style.
Right,
and
right.
I would just walk across the street, and they would have adoration. They would have a daily mass, and I was like, in heaven on earth, right? So,
right.
And then we moved to downtown Montreal, and they have, maybe some of the listeners have heard of Mary, Queen of the World Cathedral / Basilica.
Yes, in Quebec proper, correct?
This is actually Montreal.
Montreal.
Downtown.
Oh, it's in Montreal, yeah.
Yeah, Montreal.
Yeah, and it happens to be, I thought it was one-eighth. It's one-fourth, a quarter of the size. It's a replica of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, just designed after that basilica and built in the 1800s, and it's a quarter of the size of that. And I thought, this is pretty special. They had perpetual adoration, confession, and daily.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I know. It was really cool.
That's great. That is fantastic. And was this all last year? Was this fairly recent, or was it this year already that you've gone?
Fall of last year, 2025.
Okay, great. Well, that's wonderful that no matter where you and your husband go, you always try to include some aspect of pilgrimage. Like you said, you don't want God to go on vacation on you. So, you know, you want to include God in your vacation. That's very well stated. That's very well stated. Thank you, Marianne, for a great witness call. We really appreciate it.
Can I just list one more thing?
Sure, you bet.
Denver, very many people know about Mother Cabri Shrine in Colorado, near Golden, Colorado?
Okay.
Absolutely beautiful. Miracles have happened there. She established orphanages, an orphanage and also school. And, you know, just mentor the nuns there. I think that is a pilgrimage in itself. We visit our son, and I thought, okay, I'm going there, and it's so beautiful. So
give the name of the city again in Colorado.
Golden, Colorado. It's called
Golden, Colorado.
Shrine, right off the highway.
Mother Cabrini Shrine. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful, great, fantastic.
God bless you, Marianne. Thanks so much for the phone call today. Joe called in, Father, and he was not able to hold, but he said he never goes anywhere where he can't go on a pilgrimage. They went to New Orleans and went to Bourbon Street and made it a point to visit St. Louis Cathedral, went to Philadelphia and saw the remains of St. John Henry Newman. When he visits Honolulu, he goes to the cathedral because of the time that St. Damien spent there, Molokai.
Ah, yes.
And if I'm going someplace, I'm surely finding where something or somebody holy was in that town.
Well, fantastic. Now, that's good planning before you even leave your home to go on vacation and pilgrimage. Sounds like excellent planning that he does. So fantastic. Thank you so much.
We got a text from Cliff, Father, and he wants to know, do good non-Catholics who believe in Jesus go to heaven?
They can go to heaven, yes, absolutely, if through no fault of their own, they do not know that the church that Christ founded is indeed his one true church. And this is all discussed very, very clearly in the Vatican II document, Lumen Gentium, which means light of nations in Latin. You want to look at paragraphs 14, 15, and 16. The paragraphs are numbered in the document. Paragraphs number 14, 15, and 16. And it's a wonderful, beautiful explication based on Jesus's prayer in John chapter 17, the Gospel of John, that they may all be one. As you and I, Father, are one. He established one church. We know her by her four marks. She is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And those four marks are expounded upon not only in Lumen Gentium, but also in the Catechism. And so to answer your question, yes, but it has to be through the dictates of their conscience where they did not know otherwise. So where there is salvation, there is the Catholic Church, either by that person who was saved, either by their visible membership in her, like I have a visible membership in the church. I'm a Catholic, I'm a Catholic priest. Jack is Catholic, Johnette is Catholic, his wife, they have visible membership in the church. But where there is salvation for one who is not technically a Catholic, they are saved, if they are saved, they are saved by the church through invisible membership. And remember, we hold that certain of our Protestant brothers and sisters hold elements of the truth. They don't hold the fullness of truth, but they hold elements of the truth. And he established one church, as he's very clear on, for the oneness of those who follow him, the body of Christ. It's not the bodies of Christ in the plural, it's the body of Christ. And he established a church, and we know her by her four distinctive marks, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Those marks come from the Nicene Creed. In the creed that was formulated and voted upon by the bishops in 325 AD in Nicaea. And again, you want to look at Lumen Gentium, L-U-M-E-N, G-E-N-T-I-U-M. Lumen Gentium means light of nations. That's the name of the Vatican II document. Vatican II put out 16 documents. This is one of them. This is the dogmatic constitution on the church. Light of Nations, Lumen Gentium, and you want to look at paragraphs 14, 15, and 16. So before Vatican II, the phrase was in the negative. Outside the church, there is no salvation. And after Vatican II, Lumen Gentium formulates it in the positive. Where there is salvation, there is the Catholic Church, either by way of visible membership or invisible membership. Great question. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, Father Mitch Pacwa will be hosting EWTN Live, as he does every Wednesday. Tomorrow night, Father Jesse Mango and Father Ignatius Schweitzer, both Dominicans, will share how adoration, pre-Mass preparation, and Thanksgiving after Mass can deepen your own personal Eucharistic revival. That's EWTN Live with Father Mitch tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio. And keep it right here when we're finished on many of these EWTN-affiliated stations. Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today is a Beacon of Truth playlist edition. If you have not checked out one of these playlist editions, I encourage you to do so. Looking into the deeper meanings or some of the hidden meanings of some of your favorite secular songs and some of the spiritual overtones that are found there in many of them. It's very enlightening. And I'm not going to tell you what the song is. If you want to know, you got to tune in. That's Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers coming up next on many of these EWTN-affiliated stations. Next up is Marie for us in the great state of North Dakota, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Marie, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hello, Father Wade.
Hello, Marie. Thank you for your call today.
You bet. I was just going to mention that I just got back from a trip to Spain and did as many basilicas and churches as I could, which included the Sagrada Familia, where we had a high Latin Mass, which I haven't been to one of those in a long time. But being as how I'm 73 years old, I actually remembered some of the Latin.
Wow.
But then also in Valencia, there is the cathedral or the Basilica of Valencia, and there they have what they say is the Holy Grail. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of that. I have heard of that.
Yeah.
It's devotionally believed. It's not certain, but yes, it's one of their prized relics.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that whole church
Beautiful.
Is amazing.
Beautiful.
And then we went to Montserrat, which was okay. Incredible.
How big was your group? How big was your group that you were traveling with?
Well, see, this is the thing. It was just me and my husband, and we took my niece and her friend who just graduated from college.
Oh,
so
great.
I hurt my knee last year, and I can't really walk around a whole bunch. So while they were doing their thing, I was just going to churches.
Okay.
But my husband did go to Mass with me. And in Mallorca, we were in the old part of town, and there was the Church of St. Francis, and there is kind of dedicated in that church is the missionary, you'll probably know his name, who started the churches along Southern California.
Oh, Junipero Serra? St. Junipero Serra? Yeah.
So that was super cool. So
yeah, wonderful.
I just found out so many things that I never knew.
Right, right. Well, beautiful. Excellent. Sounds like a great combination of vacation and pilgrimage together. So fantastic. And you all did your research in advance to know where to go on your part because of your knee and to plan things out. Is that correct? Good planning beforehand?
Yeah, so that I would be close to these places. So it was
sure.
always in the old part of town so
right.
that you know, all the things were close. But I was
right.
going to mention also my previous trip from this one was with my sister Diane, and that truly was a pilgrimage. My sister Diane had never been to Europe before, so we went to Fatima, Lourdes. I took her to Rome. We went to Assisi and then went over to Medjugorje.
Wonderful. So multiple countries as well with multiple shrines. Wonderful. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Marie. We appreciate your call very much from North Dakota today.
By the way, let me be one of the first to wish you and all of the Fathers of Mercy a happy Father's Day coming up here in the United States on Sunday.
Well, give us
just a couple of minutes here, your reflections on really a good, holy way for Catholics to view what is otherwise kind of a secular holiday.
Yeah, well, happy Father's Day to you too, Jack, coming up this coming Sunday on the 21st. You know, the husband and father of the home, that's referring to physical fatherhood, but also spiritual fatherhood, like with our priests. Even the physical father is called to be the Christ figure of the home, the priest figure of the home. You know, for example, to ensure that evil doesn't cross the threshold into his home, to be that Christ figure, to be that priest figure. And of course, the same with a Catholic priest, a bona fide priest, ordained as a priest of God, the same thing as a watchful overseer of his people, of his flock. And we can take a secular holiday like Father's Day and really understand, as Catholic Christians who believe all that our faith teaches us, to understand the spiritual realities of fatherhood and motherhood, for that matter. We have Mother's Day in May, of course, and the importance of being a good, holy father, a provider, a protector, a leader. You know, I'll finish by saying this too. You know, it's interesting that, and this goes for all men, and not just husbands and fathers and priests, but for all men, even men discerning their vocation, whether for spiritual fatherhood or physical fatherhood. The word for male in Latin is vir, V-I-R, where the Latin word for mankind, meaning men and women together, is hominess. So that means humankind or mankind is hominess. But for male, man precisely is a male, it's vir, V-I-R. What's interesting about that is it's the same Latin word that shares the root where we get the word virtus from, which means virtue. It implies power, strength, and ability, right? And the ancients understood this. The ancients understood this. And so precisely to be a man, precisely to practice masculine virtue as God intends, is to be virtuous, is to pursue a virtuous life. And a great way to do that is to be faithful to your daily duty as a husband and father, provider, protector, leader, to be faithful to your daily duty as a spiritual father as well, provider, protector, and leader.
Next up is Anne Marie in the great state of Montana, listening today on St. Michael Radio. Anne Marie, just a couple minutes left with Father Wade. What's your story today?
Hello, Father Wade.
Hello, Anne Marie.
Hi, Jack.
Hello, Anne Marie.
I hear you all the time. My story is from Montana, and
okay.
I was born and raised in Ireland. And of course, okay. I brought the Legion of Mary with me when I came.
Beautiful.
So for our outdoor function in 1986, Our Lady of the Rockies is a 90-foot statue that a group of people in Butte, Montana, they were unemployed engineers, they decided to build a statue of Our Lady of the Rockies and put her up on the east ridge of the Rocky Mountain. And
wow.
She's magnificent. So I told the ladies, I would love to do this for our outdoor function this year, because we do four important functions. The first one being our renewal of our promise to Our Lady, the Louis Marie de Montfort renewal
right.
of our promise. So anyway, that year we got not one bus, two buses, but three busloads of people, and we went to Butte. I took them up to Butte, well, the buses did. And it was powerful. It was magnificent. Our Lady of the Rockies is 90 foot high.
Yes,
and then they built a chapel dedicated to all women of all faiths. So
beautiful.
Then we could have Mass in that little chapel.
Wonderful. I just pulled up pictures of her, Our Lady of the Rockies, online. What a magnificent statue it is in the Rockies. My goodness. And you say she's 90 feet tall, and you've led some 20 times organized pilgrimages there. And that's fantastic. And it's located in Butte, Montana, properly speaking. Is that where it's located?
In Butte, Montana.
Yes, wonderful. Great. Boy, I encourage our listeners right now who are listening live or even after the fact, once today's podcast is, today's show is posted, just on your search bar, just put Our Lady of the Rockies and look at some of these pictures of this statue. Fantastic.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Ace McKay, our call screener, Matt Kubensky, and social media maven, Mr. Michael McCall, with a little help from Tom Price. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Jack Williams. Wishing you the best Tuesday night you've ever had. We'll be back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.